Cape Talk. Car Talk.
What goes through your mind when you open up the mailbox and you spot a little white folded over document, one that's not quite big enough to be your cell phone or your Woolies account, one that's not quite small enough to be a letter from that one aunt who still actually writes letters to you? Do you get that sinking feeling in your stomach when you see the words City of Cape Town printed on the back? Because you know what it means, right? It means you've got a traffic fine. And if you're like me, you probably immediately feel all indignant and defensive for a moment because you never speed, do you? Except you do, apparently. And if you got that letter, you got caught, and quite possibly caught by a hidden camera that you just didn't notice. I've got to be honest, I'm kind of pragmatic about it. If I get that fine, I pay it on the spot because, to be fair, I haven't had that many of them, only 4 or 5 over the course of my driving career. And I know, yes, that that is 4 or 5 too many. But still, I do have that moment of, okay, well, I was caught, I was in the wrong, so let me pay the fine and move on. And if I got caught by a hidden camera, too bad for me. I don't feel any sense of having been duped by the authorities by a hidden camera. I don't really think it makes a difference whether the camera is in plain sight or hidden away from view. If it is in plain sight, I think it often just shifts bad driving behavior a couple of 100 meters down the road. I wonder if you agree, though. I know there are lots of people who feel very hard done by if they're caught in a hidden speed trap of some kind, who think it's a money-making racket and that it shouldn't be allowed and that we should be warned if there is traffic law enforcement coming up ahead. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I'd be interested to know what you think. Is it fair to have a hidden away speed camera, or should they be declared up front? If you want to tell me how you've been caught and what you feel about it, 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. You can leave a voice note on 072-567-1567 or tweet us at Cape Talk. And I'm hoping that our motoring journalist, Chira de Siena of cars.co.za, can share a bit of perspective with us. Always great to have you with us, Chira. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pepper. Thank you.
The law does allow for hidden cameras, does it not?
It does, yes. According to a recent article on Wheel 24, actually, they did dive into the law surrounding hidden cameras. It does allow for traffic officials, traffic officers to place hidden cameras and not place any warnings of that camera up and down the road. We have heard about those, I think they're called green mambas. It looks like an electricity box, which they use in the Eastern Cape, put it on the side of the road as well. So sneaky little tactics coming there. But the one I've seen the most, actually, is on Table Bay Boulevard outbound underneath the pedestrian bridge. There's a tiny little camera which gets erected there, and I've been caught that one before. So now, learn my lesson, slow down well ahead of that pedestrian bridge and make sure I don't get caught.
The million-dollar question, Jura, though, is once you pass that pedestrian bridge, do you speed up again?
Well, in my defense, the speed limit does change the closer you get to Century City. But yes, I do think that probably many people's sort of attitudes towards speed cameras, let me make sure I don't get caught and then let me carry on with my day sort of thing. I think speeding these days is down to obviously very hurried lifestyles and people really just that do have places to go. But from a motoring perspective or from a sort of a car experience perspective, very, very affordable, cheaper end cars in the market make you feel like you're not really moving at all. Cars have become incredibly quiet and incredibly smooth. And I think people can be forgiven for doing, 75 in a 60 zone and just sort of, your mind's wandered. You're not really keeping an eye on the speedo, and 75 feels like 60, or 130 feels like 120. So I do think there is some sort of, there is some innocent speeding as well out there.
Okay, fair point. It's easy to not notice how fast you're going. It does make a case for being more actively engaged, paying attention drivers. And having said that, I've often driven home and got home and realized that I really hadn't focused the whole way home. So I'm including myself in the category here, to be fair. Clive's on the line from Durbanville. I'd like to hear his point because, Clive, I think you've had some experience on how these things work overseas. Good afternoon.
Bubba, yes. Apparently what they do overseas is the speed cameras are very brightly color painted, a very prominent color, because the object is not to generate revenue. The object is to regulate speed. They even have the position of speed cameras on maps and on GPS.
Okay.
Because, as I said, you know, it's to regulate speed, not to generate revenue. So they have them, everyone can see them. So if you get caught, tough luck.
Okay. I feel the same way even for the hidden ones, Clive. If you get caught, tough luck, you shouldn't have been speeding in the first place. And I know that sounds very sort of agony auntie of me, but it's
but
interesting that it's even mapped on a GPS. So you can see up front planning your route that there will be traps along the way.
So that you then travel at the correct speed.
Okay. And Clive, I mean, we know that our rate of deaths on the road is horrendous and it's not all linked to speeding, although a great number of them are. Do you think it works, that attitude taken overseas of making it prominent, making it clear that they are there and expecting people to abide by the rules?
Compare their accident and death rate to ours. And I think there's the answer.
There it is indeed. Clive in Durbanville, interesting perspective. Thanks for sharing it with us. Do you feel that that's the route we should go here, that it should be absolutely upfront, declared? There is a trap here. We're going to paint it neon pink so you can't miss it. And we anticipate that you will adjust your behavior accordingly. Do you think South Africans will go for it? Or do you think we will simply get into the habit of slowing down when we see the bright pink and speeding up the minute it is in the rearview mirror? Sally in Fishhook SMSs to say, I've had two speeding fines, which I've gladly paid. If you break the limit and get caught, you pay. I don't believe this nonsense of getting fines squashed. Sally, I'm in your camp as well. As I said, I haven't had many of them over the course of my driving career, but when I have received them, I've paid them on the spot because I do feel a sense of I'm guilty. I shouldn't have done it, and I will pay the fine as a consequence. Neil in Somerset West, do you agree with Sally that we shouldn't be fussing around? We must pay the fine if we've earned it.
Yeah, I mean, look, basically, if you don't like the fine, don't speed. It's as simple as that. But the reason I called in, Pippa, was to say that I used to be a police inspector in traffic in the UK.
Okay.
And when we were doing spot checks in movable locations, we'd actually put signs out saying speed detection taking place ahead. So those fools who then went through exceeding the speed limit deserved to be caught. And because it is all about reducing collisions, reducing serious injuries at those specific locations, it's not about income generation as is done in South Africa.
Okay, fair point, Neil. I think a double fine required there, one for the speeding and one for the stupidity of not having slowed down even when you knew there was a trap ahead.
Absolutely.
Neil in Somerset West, interesting perspective there from someone who's actually worked in the field of traffic inspection. Yeah, I mean, here's some WhatsApp messages. One saying, I don't think fairness even comes into it. The law is the law. You shouldn't need to be warned. You know what the speed limit is, so stick to it. But in the same instance, Penny sends a message, and I do hear this point, Penny, saying the problem is speed limits change so crazily in South Africa, from 60 to 70 to 80 up to 120. Basically, one should drive at 60 in the suburbs and 120 on the freeways, but then the speed limit is 100 on the M3. It's so blooming sneaky. I do take your point, Penny, and I think the M3 in particular is one I battle with, because if you're driving sort of from the beach at Musenberg back in towards town, there is a stretch of highway where the speed limit changes about three times in the space of just a kilometer or two, which is very confusing, and you've got to be wide awake. Again, we should all be wide awake behind the wheel, so maybe it's a moot point. But Penny, I do take your point. Chiro, I mean, how do you feel? What do you think hearing those Clive and Neil saying it's done this way overseas, it's very above board, it's very clearly marked for motorists. Do you think that we would accept we should move towards something like that in South Africa?
Well, just to Clive, the first caller's point, fixed cameras in South Africa, in my experience, are marked on maps. They pop up on car sat-nav systems that I drive. Google Maps has them located. So, for instance, I'm talking about the ones, if you're familiar with Beach Road in Seapoint, there's a 50 km/h speed trap on the left-hand side as you're leaving Seapoint, just before you sort of get to the putt-putt course, and there's also one going in the other direction. Those are big fixed bright yellow cameras, and they do come up on maps. Google Maps will even warn you vocally about them as well, which is quite interesting. So we do have sort of that system here, but I think where we do differ to the second caller's point is that there does seem to be quite a lot of unmanned, unmarked cameras in this country, which can only really make you feel like it's a revenue-generating scheme. The ones that are fixed and in place and bright yellow, those are definitely used as traffic calming devices. And the same thing with the average speed camera over the Helen Suzman Boulevard. It was a very dangerous stretch of road. Hospital Bend was a very dangerous stretch of road. A traffic calming exercise like the average speed cameras, for me, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and those, just for the record, have got to be marked up front legally. I know the one on the M5 as well is very, very clearly marked as you pull into that stretch, that there, this is a stretch of road that has that average speed tracking enforcement in it, and that is one that I know by law has got to be declared. Okay, some interesting perspectives. You can carry on sharing your thoughts with us on 021-446-0567. Give me a call or give us an SMS on 31567. We're also happy to take your calls about your cars on the same number. And a couple of those coming through already. Let's start with, before we get to that call, I have to ask you, Chira, you've been driving the new 2018 VW Polo, and I got all excited taking a look that there's a brand new Polo on the market, and then I saw the price tag and I did a bit of a double take. Is it worth it?
It's funny how much excitement the VW Polo generates. Actually, I phoned a dealer to ask some questions about the spec list on this new Polo. And she was more excited about me that she hadn't driven it and I had. She was asking me what it was like to drive, which is quite exciting. But it is expensive. I mean, the one I'm driving is 302,000 Rand for the Auto Highline, which actually makes it slightly more expensive than the bottom of the range Golf, which is, you know, quite a substantially larger car. But I do feel like what Volkswagen gets right is that the Polo is just about all the car you'll ever need. It's comfortable, it's full of tech, it's quite practical. I mean, you can get your mountain bike in the back, for instance, if you take the front wheel off the bike. So in that sense, it's grown up a lot. It is a very competent all-rounder. And I think that there's something about this badge, the badge on the nose, that South Africans just seem willing to pay for. There's a certain amount of comfort, I suppose, in buying into the VW brand that we feel as South Africans, and I suppose there is some value in that.
The Polo has been one of the best-selling models for some time now, for several years in succession, hasn't it?
Yeah, month after month after month, it's just the top-selling passenger car. Well, specifically the Vivo, but the Polo range. It tops out the sales chart if you don't include Buckies.
Okay, so the entry level for the Trendline hatchback for this new Polo is 235,000 Rand, and then obviously lots of different options for the various bells and whistles, taking that price up quite rapidly. If you had to choose, Chira, which model would you go for and which specs?
I think the Comfortline Auto is probably the best value. That's when you get a decent amount of spec for your money. I wouldn't go for the manual. The Auto is the one to have. I mean, sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic is just not fun in a manual. You don't be driving the car every day. It's just a lot less stressful to be in an Auto. So spend the extra sort of 14,000 Rand on the Auto, in my opinion, you know, stretched over a five-year finance period, you're not really going to feel it. And I think the Comfort Auto comes in at 280. A couple of bells and whistles I would add is the safety package, which adds things like blind spot assist and park distance control. That's an extra 11,000 Rand. So you do need to spend a little bit to get the options and spec that you want. But I would say overall it is worth it.
Okay, thanks for the update on the new 2018 VW Polo, which Chira has been lucky enough to drive this week. Right, on to your listener questions. A reminder that the number to dial is 021-446-0567. Tammy, thanks for sending in your question. This is an interesting one, also a slightly legal issue more than an actual motoring one. But Tammy wants to know what they can do about Audi Clermont still allowing her husband's personalized plates to be used on his trade-in car more than a year and a half after he traded it in. He's still getting all the fines as well as e-tolls with photos of his old car because it's got his personalized plates still on it. What, do you have any idea around the legalities of what happens to a personalized plate when you're no longer driving that car, Chira?
It's a difficult one. I don't have a specific experience with personalized plates, but I can't imagine that the law is different to a normal plate. Randomly generated plate. I wouldn't bother with the dealership. I'd go straight to the licensing department and cancel that registration. Okay. That's probably the quickest way to deal with it, and then re-license, basically mark it as cancelled on the system. Then the next time that car gets flagged in a license plate recognition camera or just a normal speed camera, hopefully it will get picked up by the department, and then at least the fines stop coming to you.
Okay, Tammy, I hope you're able to do that relatively painlessly. I did get a mail from the City Licensing Department earlier today telling us that they've moved to a new ticketing system a la Home Affairs. So when you walk in, you get a number in the queue and you can go and sit and have a coffee in the coffee shop while you wait for your number to click over. So hopefully it's not going to be quite as painful a process as it has been in the past, having to deal with the licensing authority. Tammy, good luck to you. Lee in Cape Town, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon. So I just wanted to make a point that I noticed when we were in the UK, and that is that where there's a speed change, they warn you about it. When you come to a village, and so the likes of me, who perhaps didn't concentrate as much as one should, as you come into the village, it's a digital readout, reads your speed, and if you're going over the drop from 50 to 30 miles an hour, say, it pings up your speed, which is a fantastic reminder of wake up, take note, slow down.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that in South Africa, where speed limit changes, like on a national road, there's one sign up that tells you that the speed has changed. And it's particularly between Knysna and Storms River, where the speed limit changes all the time. It goes from 70 to 60 to 80 to 90 and back to 120. And quite often we'll pass, because we travel that route frequently, and when we pass, you know, there'll be a point in time when you're on the road when you think, actually, I don't even know what the speed limit here is. Mm. And there are no reminders, you know, where it has a big sign and then a few, maybe every 2 or 3 kilometres, a smaller sign just reminding you what the speed limit is.
I couldn't agree more, Lee. I drive that stretch myself quite often, and I have exactly the same thought. There are points where I literally have no idea what the speed limit is. It's a very, 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 very fair point that you've made, Lee. Thanks for your call.
Just to that point, but the cars are sort of coming to the rescue. Increasingly, a feature on cars is there'll be a camera behind the rearview mirror, which faces forward. It actually is able to detect the rounded circular speed signs, read the number on it, and it presents that number to you on your dashboard or in your heads-up display. So
fantastic.
I've seen it increasingly. I think the first car I noticed it on was a Volvo, but it is becoming more and more common, and it's, you know, tech usually filters down and further down the market. So something that will hopefully be very common in, say, 2 to 3 years' time.
Isn't technology a wonderful thing? That's fantastic news. Thanks, Chiro. Okay, I think we can squeeze in one last SMS asking, are Tesla cars ever coming to South Africa? They'll go to the moon before they come to South Africa, or at least to space, Chiro.
That's actually a very... I'm totally stealing that. That's what I want to be telling people whenever they ask me. The only thing I know about in South Africa is that they have a bank account here. Because a good friend of mine, her father actually did the business with them with Nedbank. So they are here in some way, shape, or form. As far as I know, they have 2 employees in South Africa as well. But mm-hmm. the rumors that I'm hearing is that they're actually looking to establish a battery producing facility on African soil, and that's what their interest in South Africa is. So the cars, I keep pushing the date back. 2021, maybe 2020 if we're lucky.
Okay. Longer than you might hope, whoever sent that message, but there it is. Chira, always great to have you with us. We'll chat again next week.
Cool. Thank you so much, Pippa. Thank you.
Chira de Siena of cars.co.za. And that is a great place to visit if you are looking for specs on new models, if you're looking for comparative pricing or anything like that. It's full of information. They've got great video shot about the new models they've driven. So pay it a visit if you're in the market.